Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
I'm going to read you the menu. It's fantastic.
So we get better flavour because of the fen soil.
I've drunk more beer since I came here and bought my two barrels than I've ever done in my life before, I think.
I shouldn't have said almonds. They don't make it from almonds.
So you've got this big sticky mess when you start off.
Pizza, pots, pints.
My wife's cakes are selling up hot cakes. Brilliant, thank you.
The time is right for this sort of thing.
Food is everything.
Cambridge is right for this sort of thing.
What's it like?
Good afternoon and welcome to Flavour, live from our studios here in Gwydir Street with news and stories about local food and drink. I'm Matt Bentman, there's no Sue Bailey today, but here is Alan Alder to kick us off.
Yeah, we've a bit of a special today. Coming up on the 1st of October is the 30th birthday of a real Cambridge institution, the Cambridge Cheese Company. So we have several features about them, how they've developed since they opened, about their new sustainability selection, which not only reduces waste, but also gives a really good deal to customers. And we've a few looks back into our archives too, when we featured them in the past.
We've also got news of a newish cafe in Sawston called Victor Victoria and of a newish wine shop in Cambridge's King Street, which offers a wide range of wines and good value.
We'll have our regular features too, free food in Cambridge, local food and drink news, social media updates, and at the end of the programme, our jobs roundup.
But first, let's head over to All Saints Passage, where the Cambridge Cheese Company resides. Alan went along to talk to shop manager Camilla Marshall-Lovesey.
Camilla, you've got your 30th anniversary coming up next month in October. Have you got any celebrations planned?
We do. We're absolutely having a party. In fact, we're having two parties, both in the form of tastings with two of our favourite Cambridge independents. So the first one's on our actual birthday, which is the 1st of October. That's being held at the Bridge Street branch of the Cambridge Wine Merchants. We have at least 30 places for that, and we'll be trying at least six cheeses. I think there's going to be some surprises in there, and at least six glasses of wine as well, so it's a pretty big party. And the second one, we thought quite fittingly, should be on the 30th of the month for our 30th birthday, so that's the 30th of October, and that one will be held at King Street Cellar, one of our favourite kind of new collaborations and one of our favourite new independents. So Ben will be running the wine half of that, and I'll be running the cheese tasting part, and those are always absolutely incredible, some of the most fun events that we run.
Although you're best known for cheese, you do sell other things, and I was wondering what sort of lines you've introduced, you know, in relatively recent times.
Yeah, absolutely. So over the 30 years, the shop has more than doubled in size. So with that has come at least a double in all of our products. Where we used to sell less than 50 cheeses, we're now selling over 200. Yeah. We've introduced a much bigger wine section after having met Ben from King Street Cellar, and Jack from The Wine Importers, another independent Cambridge business. And alongside that, we've massively expanded our range of kind of luxury olive oils and vinegars. We've introduced loads of kind of comfort food and specialities from across the world, particularly Europe. So we have incredible French cassoulets and pâtés. We have special spices, and we've introduced lots of locally made things as well. That's something that's quite new. So we have some amazing salt, which is made in Suffolk, really nearby, by a mother-daughter team. We have some cheese made in Cambridge from a man named John Sugden. He's one of our absolutely favourite cheesemongers, and he makes one of my favourite cheeses. So there's been lots and lots of change over the years, but I think introducing lots of local things and lots of kind of luxury speciality goods is where we've been moving towards.
And also you've expanded doing sort of more what you might call outreach work, doing tastings.
That's
with
right.
Wine, with gin.
Yeah, absolutely. So during lockdown, I launched online tastings as a way to kind of get cheese and wine and non-alcoholic drinks too out to the public while everyone was stuck at home. And they were incredibly popular. I was doing them multiple times a week, and we've had loads and loads of requests now that the lockdown is over to do them in person. So we started running them initially for kind of private businesses, you know, local teams, that sort of thing. And then it was when we met Ben from King Street Cellar that we thought we would run a monthly event with him at his venue, which is the most beautiful kind of space. And then so many other people have got involved. So we're working with the Cambridge Wine Merchants as well. We're working with the Gin Lab. And there's a long list of other people on the wait list for when I have a free evening.
Right, people are queuing up too.
They're queuing up. And we're really excited about launching some new things.
Right. I don't really drink gin, but I can't conceive of gin going with cheese, but it obviously does, otherwise you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, so the first kind of experience I had with it was when I was running the Cambridge Food Tour Company, which I did for many years, and we had a kind of spirit tasting with cheese, and one of the spirits we tried was a vodka made from yak's milk, which is naturally kind of very creamy, and actually it pairs incredibly well with cheese, and we started experimenting with gin, often which can be very herbaceous and very herbal, floral, and we have lots of cheeses with those same qualities.
Right.
And having the kind of gin being able to cut through the creaminess of lots of cheeses works incredibly well. Much like having a kind of salty, savoury, umami, harder cheese works well with a G&T. It's just like having olives or crisps with a drink, which is kind of classic. There are lots and lots of different things you can pair, and it's really exciting.
Oh, how interesting. Right, and you've obviously eaten a lot of cheese over the years. I mean, when you think back, is there a standout cheese?
So my favourite cheese changes almost daily. It depends on the weather, it depends on my mood, it depends what I'm drinking, it depends who I'm eating it with, and so many other factors. One of my favourites at the moment is a cheese which is made in Cambridge from John, who I mentioned earlier. It's exclusive to us, it's called the Cambar, and whilst it was originally designed on a kind of Camembert recipe, it's actually wildly different. It's a sheep's milk cheese for starters, and is just the most kind of silky, velvety texture, really nutty, a little bit savoury with a slightly salty rind, and it's just dreamy.
So it does have that sort of mushroomy flavour.
It does indeed, absolutely, a little bit of earthiness as well, but sheep's milk has a really different flavour profile to cow's milk, so there's definitely a kind of surprise factor to it, and it's one of our absolute favourites.
And does it go well with gin?
It goes with everything. We have it for lunch. I can't tell you how often we eat all of the stock. It would be wonderful with a truffle gin, I would think. That's one of my favourites.
Okay, well, happy anniversary.
Thank you so much.
To you all. And thank you very much, Camilla.
Of course, thank you.
Thank you. Well, I foolishly didn't take a bag with me when I went along to do that interview, so I wasn't able to buy any of that Cambar. But I must say, I've had some fantastic cheeses from them over the years. Several stand out, actually. So a really nice used cheese a few years ago. Just very memorable. And I will go back and get some Cambar and try that as well. But you're a great cheese lover too, Matt. And have you got an all-time favourite?
Yeah, you tapped a bit of a rich vein there, Alan. So, lately I've been trying things like, I had to write this down, truffle cheddar, black garlic cheddar, cheddar truckle, which is a favourite of the man who used to run the cheese stall on the Cambridge Market.
Yeah, right, I know who
he retired about a year or two ago, didn't he? Bombay Red Leicester.
Bombay Red Leicester sounds like curried cheese. What's that?
Well, it contains spices. I got to say, I wasn't a big fan because Red Leicester is usually my second, third, or fourth favourite cheese, depending on the day.
Yeah.
And I like my Red Leicester as God intended, I think. I'm a bit of a traditionalist for Red Leicester in that way. So it didn't win any marks for me.
Right.
Double Gloucester with spring onion and chives. Cave-aged mimolette. It's from Lille, I think, in France.
How is it? Right.
It's a nutty, salty, deep orange-coloured cheese. A balsamic onion cheddar and red cheddar as well. So, yeah, quite a few. But I've got to say, despite trying all of those things, my favourite still remains Blue Stilton.
Yeah.
I just love the richness, the stickiness of it, the everything. It's perfect.
It is a fantastic cheese. I absolutely agree.
Yeah. And no cheese is an island. You know, any of these have their flavour enhanced massively. Just like Camilla was saying, you know, it depends on the day. It depends on what crackers you've got, what bread you have them with, whether you've got grapes, pâté. They're great with port or sherry or tea. And then whether you're eating it inside or outside, everything is in elements that will affect the oomph of that cheese. And cheese and biscuits will be my death row final meal. And because I've had it a lot, I think I've accrued a few murders in my credit, so I'd be all too happy to dole them out. And then if I do get charged for murder one day, at least I can still choose cheese and biscuits as my final meal. So it's a win-win in my eyes.
You lucky man. But have you tried cheese with gin?
Never tried cheese with gin. I was going to say that I'm not a gin drinker, but I do have a housemate who makes gin and tonics with ice and blueberries in the summer. Really great, but I don't fancy dropping a chunk of cheese in the glass. If that's the way you're supposed to have it.
But it's interesting, this pairing alcohol with cheese. What goes best with, say, a Blue Stilton doesn't go best with something like a brie. Mm. But, you know, when you get cheese in a restaurant, you don't get very many restaurants that match wines to the cheese. Maybe you'd get a small glass of a particular wine to go with one of the cheeses you've ordered and a different wine for another. But one place I've eaten at recently, Noble Rot in Lamb's Conduit Street, does do that with 75ml glasses of three different wines to go with three different cheeses.
Yeah.
But you don't see it often, and I don't know why not.
Yeah. I think the last one I attended was with Steve Hovington, and that was a bit of a wine and cheese pairing, but it was also wine and other foods as well.
Mm.
Do I pair wine with cheese myself? Not so much. I tend to prefer other drinks with cheese and biscuits.
Yeah. I like cheese by itself. I've started to find crackers distracting.
Oh, really?
I remember going to a restaurant in France and just having... They brought cheese with a knife and fork. There was no bread. There was no crackers or biscuits of any description. You just ate your cheese with your knife and fork. And you could concentrate much more on the flavour of the cheese.
Do you prefer it that way now?
I think I do.
Ah.
I don't often do it, actually, but yeah. I do prefer it, yeah.
Well, let's move on to our first news break now. And Provenance has an end-of-summer disco party in Willingham on the 26th of September. There'll be a wood-fired kitchen, a wood-fired DJ, and a wood-fired bar. Admission is £20, and the food and drinks are paid for on the night, but not all of those things are really wood-fired, like I said.
Biscotti di Debra is popping up at Tradizione on Mill Road on the 29th of September to provide patisserie and donuts, and that's from 10:30 until 2:30, unless there's a sellout by then. You can eat in, and coffee will be available as well.
Noel Young Wines in Shelford has two food and wine evenings coming up, each with five courses and five wines. So, on the 3rd of October, it's a USA night at £65, and on the 31st of October, it's an Italian night at £60. You can book for these at the Noel Young Wines website.
Ben Sulston is cooking up a German food feast at the Hatch in Knapwell on the 5th of October as part of their Oktoberfest. And there'll also be local breweries serving all night, a free welcome drink on arrival, and a resident DJ. Vaughan Wines, who supply restaurants such as Fansets and Mercado Central, has an event coming up at Soul and Duck in Trumpington on the 8th of October. The wines are produced by Vondeling Wines from South Africa, and the cost is £90. And Vaughan Wine events do sell out very quickly, so do move quickly on this one if you want to get there.
On the 6th of October, the Cambridge Chinese Tea Club has tastings of Wu Yi Rock Teas. And there's a tasting of Wu Yi Black Teas on the 13th of October and Chinese White Teas on the 20th of October. All are with Tea Master Stephen Shu. The events begin at 2:30 p.m. in 178 Victoria Road. Now, as well as tasting these teas, there will be demonstrations on how to brew your tea to get the very best out of it. And you get a small sample of tea leaves as well to take home.
There's a Jamaican afternoon tea at Orleans Kitchen in Peas Hill on the 13th of October, with sittings at 1 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the p.m. and from 4 to 6 p.m. There will be mini patties, Jamaican buns, pina colada scones, chili chocolate brownies, mango cheesecake and other treats.
And there is a bistro clandestine food evening on the 26th of October with Gourmandise in Cottenham. Bookings are being taken now. The cost is £47 and the food will be French.
And now details of free food available in and around Cambridge. And the information about what's available and where to get it comes from the Olio app. And that exists so that people's or businesses' surplus food doesn't go to waste.
Yeah, and we start with a slightly unusual item today because Mike on Barnwell Road has a massive homegrown marrow. And he's giving that away in chunks by the kilogram. Good for making courgette bread, he suggests. Next up is Russell on Coleridge Road, and he has Tesco Tiger batons and white batons and baguettes to give away. And that is pretty much how it looks for the rest of the lineup on Olio this morning, at least. Bread as far as the eye can see, from Tim in Milton, Eugenie on Babraham Road, Tom in King's Hedges, Serena in Cherry Hinton Road, and Joy in Eddington. Loaves, rolls, baps, baguettes, they're everywhere, and they're free. And that is our quick look, our very quick look, at Olio today.
And of course, there's the other free food app called Too Good To Go. It's not free, actually. It has unsold food from restaurants and cafes and shops, often at less than half price. And they don't specify each unsold item because they don't know what items are going to be unsold at the end of the day. But the surplus food is put into a bag, a magic bag, ready for you to take home instead of it being thrown away. It's been used by Greggs in Cherry Hinton, Novi, Namaste, Pret up across Marks and Spencer at the station, all sorts of places. So another free app worth looking at.
Lovely. Well, moving on now, one deli that has recently stopped using Too Good To Go is the Cambridge Cheese Company. It's now developed its own scheme, which Camilla told Alan about.
Camilla, I see you're doing sustainability selection. What is it?
We are indeed. So for many years, we've worked with Too Good To Go and their kind of sustainability, recycling and reusing products that might not sell in a business otherwise. But we decided to launch our own with a couple of different price points so that people could try a wider range of our products at a hugely discounted price, and also just to reduce our own wastage. And rather than staff eating absolutely everything that's coming up to its best before date, we thought we could share that with customers as well.
Very decent of you, right. So what sorts of things might one find in one's sustainability selection bag?
We're trying to always include some cheese. It's always wonderful for customers to discover something new, and this is a great way of doing it. You know, use by dates or best before dates, particularly on cheese, often are completely nonsensical in our view. And often cheeses aren't even close to ripe by the time they reach their best before. We've spoken to lots of businesses about this, and lots of cheesemongers are actually getting rid of them altogether. But I guess it does allow us to showcase these cheeses to people that maybe haven't tried them before. So there's always a cheese in there. We've got other things like pasta sauces, apple juices, hot sauce. It could be oils. It could be pâtés and pestos and all kinds of delicious antipasti treats as well.
Can you say something more about best before dates and use by dates? So I can see that with a hard cheese, often they will take years to mature. So an extra couple of weeks is not going to make any difference. But with soft cheeses, sometimes you do get a mould growing on them, don't you? Is that mould harmful, or can you safely just trim it off, or can you eat it, or what?
Yeah, interesting. So it really does depend on the cheese. Now, our hard cheeses here, we've just opened one which we've been maturing in our cellar for 2 years. So often these cheeses are sent to us with a best before of a couple of months, but we choose to mature them here for many more years to obtain a kind of different product. So that's very much intentional. With soft cheese, it really varies. The best way to tell if something is actually off is that usually there'll be some kind of ammonia, either smell or liquid, which will be present. Obviously, when we're putting together our bags, we're eating the cheese ourselves. Usually we're having them for lunch. And if something is just really deliciously ripe, it's perfect for a sustainability selection, and indeed for you to eat. As for the moulds, there are so many different kind of types of that. We're here to advise you on that. And with every little bag that we sell, we're going to put in some little notes about what you can look for, what's good, and how to eat all of these selections.
Right. And how do you get them? Do you sort of book one online, or can you just call in?
So you can just pop into the shop. We've got all the products ready downstairs. Some of the cheeses will be freshly cut, so that they're not kind of sitting around beforehand. All of the other stuff's reserved. You can also send us an email. You can send us a message on Instagram to reserve one. But yeah, the best way is just to come in and grab one. They're ready in 2 minutes.
Right, that's very good. And the price?
We've got a couple of different price points. So with Too Good To Go, that kind of little app used to be £5. We've managed to get one to £6.50. That's our cheapest one, and that includes a minimum of kind of 50% discount on everything if you were buying it at shop price. And then we also have some slightly higher price point ones at £12 and £15. Still very affordable. Both of them will give you at least a full meal, which is pretty impressive, you know, price wise, and will allow you to try a few extra items.
Right, so it sounds fantastic. And as you said, a good way of exploring things that you might not otherwise try. 100%,
yeah, so many new things in there. Everyone's different, so yeah. Really interesting, loads to taste. Right.
Always nice to have a surprise.
Absolutely right.
Right, and that started now, has it?
It has, as of today, yeah. You
Brilliant.
Can come in and grab
okay.
one.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, I'll be definitely going in and grabbing one of those. They sound good.
On to some market news now. It's the Grandston's Farmers Market tomorrow, the 22nd of September, from 9 till 1. And also the Cheveley Farmers Market from 10 till 1. And the stalls at Cheveley, which is near Newmarket, include Molino Handmade Pasta, Cambridge Artisan Cheese, Cooper's Croft Vineyard, Meadow and Woodland Livestock. They'll be selling lamb and pork and White Hart macarons.
And let's see who's celebrating in Congratulations Corner today. Well, there's Calixta and everyone at Flourish in Hildesheim, because Flourish has been officially recognised as an organic farm by Demeter, whose stringent requirements include not using synthetic fertilisers and chemical plant protection agents, but also they require you to take measures to strengthen life processes in the soil.
Peachin's Table has had some official plaudits for its Sichuan chili oil, Sichuan chili crisp, and Taberu Ra Yu, which have all been awarded stars by the great taste awarding judges. You can buy them at Flourish Farm Shop, Burwash Larder, the Cambridge Cheese Company, Eclipse Bakery, and Bake Shop Grain Store in Ely.
Congratulations too to Mark Poynton, who's been judged Chef of the Year by the Eastern Daily Press Food and Drink Awards for his work at Caister Hall. A great accolade.
Yeah, and that's all the news for now. We'll have some more wine news later.
There's a gradual spread of good food coming into Cambridgeshire from Newmarket. We had Jennifer Saunders of Sourdough Hub in the programme a while ago, and she sells some of her baked goods to various Cambridge cafes. And recently, in Sawston, Newmarket's Victor Victoria Cafe opened its second branch. Sue Bailey went along to find out more from, who else, Victoria.
I have a coffee shop already in Newmarket, and it's a lovely, buzzy community coffee shop, and I'd always wanted somewhere South Cambridgeshire to open a second. An opportunity arose last year and I seized it, and actually opened in February of this year, so we've just surpassed our 6 month anniversary.
It's such a big space, but you also have a lot of things going on in terms of menu and what you're planning to do. Tell me a bit more about that.
So Newmarket was always quite busy and people were saying it would be lovely if it was bigger. We came across this site and it just fitted how we felt about everything. It's got quite a few covers in, but it does give people and larger groups all day dining experience. So if you were coming out and there was a group of six of you or eight friends getting together, it has got enough space to be able to accommodate, which many places don't have for all day cafe experience. Plans for future: I would like to open it up potentially on a few evenings and have some events. We've got ideas of sort of near Christmas, ball workshops and different things like that, but also maybe a few sort of specialised evenings. Supper clubs would be ideal on a Friday night, for instance. We're lucky enough to have a licence here as well, so we can offer alcoholic drinks from 11 o'clock during the day, but also it does lend itself to evening entertaining as well.
And also, I see you have quite an extensive brunch menu. Do you get very popular at weekends?
Yes, I must say we are very popular, especially Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We find that a lot of families come out, whether they've had a sporting event in Sawston or whether they're coming from surrounding areas. Yes, brunch is very popular. We've got avocado on toast. We've got brioche French toast, all butter brioche, I should say. We do have waffles. We have Egg Benedict, but on a waffle. We have a full English breakfast. And then we also have cafe-style toasties, where we do a select of toasties, and of course our signature Victor Victoria bacon roll, which is delicious with bacon, avocado, chili jam and rocket. You must try one day.
Ooh, that sounds really rather naughty. Oh, what made you go into the whole area of running cafes.
So, background is marketing, but I also had a cupcake business many years ago. So I am a baker, really, fell into that. And I always wanted my own shop, but for a few years, it wasn't really viable to have a shop. So I outsourced and I had quite a few cafes that I used to supply for about sort of a 10-year. Then one of the cafes that I supplied really came up for grabs. And I was at a time in my life where I thought this might actually work. And I, when I was thinking about it, I twinned it with my love for coffee and thought, what do I want to do? And it was, I wanted to go out for coffee and have a nice slice of cake and some coffee and maybe a light bite. And I didn't really feel that there was too many places where I was living for that. So I opened my own.
What a good idea. So do you live around this area or more near the Newmarket area?
More near the Newmarket area, but I used to work near Sawston in South Cambridgeshire. So I knew this area for many years and had a lot of, you know, friends from over here. The two work together.
And also, I mean, Sawston, I think people don't realise that it's actually not very far out of Cambridge at all, is it?
Not at all. I think south to Cambridgeshire, when we've driven it, it's 10, 15 minutes. It's also quite nice because there's free car parking in the village that you can use for about 3 hours. There's a post office here. There's a Cambridge Building Society. There's quite a lot of amenities. And then you can pair that with doing a few jobs and then coming here and meeting friends. And then you don't have to sort of worry too much about getting into the centre. So it's sort of a nice spot out of town.
And even, dare I say it, the sort of people who are the keen cyclists, it's not, again, it's not a long cycle ride from Cambridge either, is it?
No, not at all. And we are on one of the major cycle routes here. We provide bike racks here as well with a locking system, so you don't even need to come and lock them up yourselves or bring your own. So we get quite a lot of cyclists at weekends, and it is lovely. It's a really nice community spirit cafe where if you've got an hour of your day, we want you to come and spend it with us, really. Whether you're meeting friends, family, whether you're a cyclist, dog walkers as well. We welcome dogs in here, and we find that we get quite a lot of walkers and then bringing in their dogs and stopping and having something to eat and a cup of coffee and a bite to eat, cake. It's really lovely.
Do you get the office workers, in other words, the remote workers here? Because I gather that can be a bit of an issue with some cafe owners.
I think it can, but we welcome them here. We've got large space, and we find that we have some people that come in really early and they work for a couple of hours. We then get office workers that actually enjoy their lunchtime with us as well. But we find that we can accommodate most people because of the large environment. And we're so used to juggling seats that most people, if they're working out of a cafe, don't mind moving over. And they are very mindful of diners the rest of the time.
That's really nice. Yeah. And of course, with your background in the baking area, you've also got some very nice cakes on offer. Who are your suppliers, or do you do them in-house?
Wow, we do those in-house. They're tried and tested recipes. Probably from about the last 4 or 5 years. We do outsource a couple of them, ones that are no gluten or low gluten, dairy free and vegan. So the cakes that we cook in house are using dairy and have all of the allergens in. But you've got a lemon and raspberry loaf here, which is a popular one. One of our signature bakes is a banana bread with a caramel topping, which is delicious as well. I say that singling out too, but the rest of them are all delicious. You'll have to work your way through the counter.
Oh, yes, they look really, really yummy. And of course, the question I forgot to ask is why. I can see why Victoria, but why Victor in front of it?
Oh, yes, lots of people ask this. So it goes back, it's actually my father and I. So my dad is Victor and I'm Victoria. I think because of the movie, many years ago, people would go, oh, Victor, Victoria. When I was thinking of a name to open, I wanted something that was personal to me, but I didn't want it to sort of not reflect who I was. When I was thinking of names, it just sprung to me. I went, oh, Victor, Victoria. And the name stuck, really. It's quite a mouthful, but once people hear it, they tend to remember it, and that's really quite nice. We call it VV for short.
Oh, I like that. That's brilliant. Well, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, we have a few moments before we take our break. So, Alan, you've been looking at some of today's papers. Is there any interesting food items?
Yes, there are, actually. We'll have a look in the second half of the programme. There's some nice recipes in the Guardian's Feast magazine. And the Financial Times magazine has a food special. And obviously, Tim Hayward has been writing for us. And we might be able to fit in something about the perils of being a restaurant critic.
Well, Well, that's all coming up after the break. We've also got a visit to Cambridge's newest wine merchant, a look back at the history of the Cambridge Cheese Company, plus some wine news, news from social media, and at the end of our programme, the jobs section. All that coming up in a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Cambridge 105 Radio. Mondays on Cambridge 105 Radio, the Kipper the Cat Show. Set your turntable to 78 and handle those discs with care as Greg Butler plays vintage recordings from the 1910s through to the 1960s.
And they were still making 78s well up into the late 60s to about 68, I think, is the latest one I've got.
The Kipper the Cat Show, Monday at 11 p.m. on Cambridge 105 Radio and at cambridge105.co.uk.
For a great range of electrical goods, visit urboturbo25.com. We're a top-rated online retailer based in St. Neots that's trusted by thousands of UK customers for the past 10 years. We stock a wide selection of kitchen appliances, vacuum cleaners, power tools, personal care items, phone accessories, and much, much more. We offer free shipping, and most of our items are available for next-day delivery. Check out our 100% feedback rating on Amazon and eBay. Visit us today at urboturbo25.com. That's urboturbo25.com.
And welcome back to Flavour.
Wine, wine, wine. Drink that wine.
Yeah, and that's the supercharged music taking us into the wine news. And today, the 21st of September, at the Cherry Hinton Road branch of Cambridge Wine Merchants, there is an Italian wine tour from 2 till 6 p.m.
At the Wine Rooms in Hills Road, there's a tasting of Australian wines on the 25th of September, a sparkling wine tour on the 9th of October, and a Rhone Valley tasting on the 16th of October.
Amphora has a class on how to blind wine taste. That's on the 25th of September, and it costs £45. And there's a sold-out event on the 2nd of October, a tasting of exotic varieties. Amphora's events are held at the Sage of Cambridge, and that's at 33A Milton Road.
Gutter and Stars, the winemaker in French's Road, has a new wine out. It's called Spacer, and it's a Pinot Blanc. It's described as fresh, vibrant, and perfectly balanced. And the next Gutter and Stars wine tasting will be on the 7th of November. There's a pause in tastings during October because of the grape harvest. And that ends our news for today, and we'll have a look at new social media postings in a few minutes.
OK, so let's continue with the wine theme. Alan went to visit Cambridge's newest wine shop during the week. It's called King Street Cellar. It's just before you get to the Rad Pub as you leave the town centre along King Street. And he spoke with owner Ben.
Ben, you've opened up a wine shop in King Street, and I was wondering, why does Cambridge need another wine shop?
I think a lot of wine shops in Cambridge focus more on tourists or sort of having a bar element. We are a wine merchants for the community, so for the town, not really for the tourist trade. So we get to know our customers, we get to know what they like, have conversations about what they're eating, what they're drinking. And, you know, we'll sometimes go to tastings and we'll think, oh, I think Pete might like that wine, and we'll get a few in for him. Or we'd like to have a relationship with our customers and offer value as well, more than anything else. So giving people a reason to come here over going to Waitrose or going to some of the...
So there's that personal element. You get to know your customers. You get to know what they like. You can point them in the direction that you think they would
absolutely
enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. We love doing that. That's sort of the joy of the job, really, is getting to know people in the community trying to have a range that represents what's great now for them and what offers great value for them as well.
Yeah. And does it work? Does Pete come in and say, yeah, I really did like that wine?
I'll often guide Pete to that wine. But yeah, of course he does. I mean, we try and keep the range moving as much as possible. So if things aren't selling for whatever reason, sometimes it's just a label doesn't look appealing to people or whatever. Obviously, we try everything in here several times, and I am the only member of staff, so we do have suffered for my art. But we often do that. We'll say, oh, if you like this, you might like this. If you like a big Malbec, well, you might like this Primitivo. We love having those conversations, guiding people into new areas of wine without being too pretentious?
Well, that's interesting, because I think one of the reasons people go to supermarkets and buy wine at supermarkets is there's no fear involved. They're not showing themselves up.
You know, and that's the thing we're trying to do here. So that's where we've kept a focused range. Some wine merchants have, you know, 700 odd wines, but I personally think that's not a great thing. I would prefer to have a more focused range so the customer can come in and be confronted by five Bordeaux as opposed to 25 Bordeaux,
yeah,
and have a conversation with someone who's not pretentious and who does want to help them out, and try and recommend the best wine for them in their budget.
Yeah.
It's really easy to go to the supermarket and pick up a Sauvignon over and over again because, you know, it's safe. I used to do that. Everyone does that. Of course they do. But for the sort of goal here really is to offer a service that is not intimidating and will get people to, you know, maybe go for a Sauvignon from France or a Pouilly Fumé or a Sancerre or whatever it is.
Right, but if I was a sort of, I don't know, wine novice and I had some friends coming around and we were going to have, I don't know, cod, let's say, you
oh,
know.
Nice.
I could come in and say to you, Ben, I've got some friends coming around, we're going to have cod.
Absolutely.
What sort of wine goes with cod?
Well, lots of things go with cod. I suppose I'd say you're looking really to see what's the dominant thing in your food pairing. So
yeah,
if you've got a really rich cheese sauce, you might go for something a bit drier to cut through. If you've just got the cod, you'd probably go for something a bit lighter and a bit more ethereal.
But you can give that sort of advice.
Absolutely.
To
we love to do that. We love to do that. But a big thing for me is really drink what you like as well, you know. Don't be wedded to the fact that you're coming to a wine merchant's because you've got to pair this with that and you need advice for this. If you love a certain kind of wine, well, then drink that kind
drink
of wine.
It. Just get it down your neck.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And given that you have a range of around about 200 wines, how do you ensure that they're quality wines? Because, you know, you can sell wines which aren't that great.
Well, absolutely. And what we do is we go to lots of different smaller suppliers than some of the bigger people in Cambridge, who use big suppliers. We go for small artisan producers. We go out and visit. I'll also try everything several times, you know, in tastings, and also watch out for vintage changes as well. So, you know, as tragic as it sounds, I have tried all of these wines at least twice.
Wow.
And we've only been open for, what, 10 months?
Yeah, that's incredible. And what about range? Do you specialise in any particular country? Or?
Well, a focus for us is probably France, but I think most wine merchants would say that. We don't really go for much South American wines just because of the air miles, and we do try and keep a focus on sustainability. Just because you can. There's so much great wine on our doorstep. Why not? You know. So that's what we're trying to do. Probably France, Old World, Italy, but we have a bit of everything in here. You know, what's drinking well now is really the focus. Whatever's drinking well now.
And what about the price? What sort of price range is there? If I wanted a bottle of Plonk, can I come and get a bottle of Plonk?
Well, I wouldn't call it Plonk, but I mean, we could definitely do something for you. Yeah, I would say, we've got everything from £7 or £8 all the way up to whatever you want to spend, £200.
Oh, really?
I might retire with that bottle, though. Who knows?
Right. People talk about wines from Greece and the fact that they're good quality for the price. Is that true, do you think?
Absolutely. I think they're amazing. I think you've got to look at some of those emerging wine regions now, because that's where a lot of great quality wines coming at really good prices,
right,
too.
So where else is emerging then?
Well, Georgia, obviously, is probably
the
oldest wine region in the world, but they've got some amazing things. You've got Romanian wine now, which is brilliant. You have a lot of wines that have been brilliant historically, but haven't had the same traction as they're getting now, which I think is brilliant. As we move away from Burgundy, Claret, and sort of those classic big names are becoming more and more out of the reaches of most people, we're looking for styles often, which is one of the joys of the trade, looking for something that tastes like a Burgundy, but might be from Slovakia, you know?
Yeah. Tastings, I know you do tastings with people like the Cambridge Cheese Company, and you have the Cambridge Wine School here doing
Absolutely.
Sort of classes. Are you doing your own tastings?
We
at
have
all?
Got lots of plans to do our own tastings, but there's nothing in the diary yet, but it's upcoming. We're going to have a big Christmas tasting, so you can get your Christmas wine sorted and ordered before the Christmas chaos sets in. And we're also doing a lot of private events here, so if you have a small party, 10 to 20, we love doing those here. We can do cheese and wine pairings and things like that for corporates or staff parties. We love doing things like that, and it's a lovely space, which hopefully you'll...
Well, it is a lovely space. It's beautifully done out. It's lovely.
Well, I think the other thing I'd say...
And these are hops.
Yeah, they're dried hops
from
up here.
Hanging from the ceiling. It's lovely.
And people who remember Parrot Records in Cambridge...
Yes, well, I do.
There you go. Well, we are the Parrot Records site, I think.
Right.
And so we're slightly off the beaten track for a lot of people if you're in town. But if you're coming back and forth from town, you know, if you've gone in and out and you use this as a through road, then it's, you know, less time to carry a bottle of wine home wherever you're going on your way out.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say to all your listeners is if they come in and say Flavour 10, we'll give you a bit of discount as well.
Oh, right,
just to
okay.
Get you through the line.
All right, Flavour 10 it is. Thank you very much, Ben.
Pleasure, thank you.
Thanks for your time, thanks. Ah, that's a beautiful shop, King Street Cellar. But if you're not into going into shops anymore, they do an online ordering service, and delivery to Cambridge is free. And so added to the very good value of their wines, you really can't go wrong. And they also have a good range of local beers. I was pleased to see they sell pressure drop beers, which aren't local, but which I really like. A good place.
And there's the music signalling time for news from social media.
Yeah, quite a lot, actually, so this might be a bit of a gallop. Culinaris has been Instagramming to say that it's the bergamot season. They have some fresh bergamot in store, which you don't see very often. And also they have some fresh rinds of candied Calabrian bergamot in store. Frank's Farm in Eltersley on the 29th of September is bringing back its Sunday roasts. Daily Bread in Cambridge is reminding us that this is a bit of a difficult time for them. It happens every year, but, you know, they do come perilously close to closing down, so please shop there if you need anything. Café Foy is having a French evening on the 27th of September at 7 o'clock for an unforgettable French feast, they say. So that sounds very good. Now, here's one that I'm really intrigued by. It's from Inda, as of Inda's Kitchen all those years ago now. And Inda posted something yesterday, but her tagline or bio says, Inda's home-cooked Indian food, barbecues, pop-ups, private dinner parties. So in a small way, Inda is back in business. We need to find out more about that. Cambridge Sustainable Food, this is looking ahead. The 26th of October will be transforming the Cambridge Museum of Technology into a magical land of beanology, bursting with bean-based cookery demos at the bean counter, bean-themed talks, and a whole host of activities exploring the power of beans to benefit people and planet. And also, Chris from Gutter and Stars Wine has Instagrammed to remind people that his new tastings are now up online, so you can book for them. And the Christmas one is there as well. These things do sell out. So again, put a move on if you want to go.
Now, next up is a few clips smashed together from our years recording with the Cambridge Cheese Company. Now, this is when I really love working in with radio, because you can blend the years together like a cocktail. But what I really like here is the sentiment, what it means to run a cheese shop, and not in the Monty Python sense.
We started, I think it was 1994. We must be doing something right, because we're still here, so that's good. But if anybody had said to me, even like 20 years ago, you're going to spend your life in a cheese shop selling cheese and eating cheese, I probably would have said, don't think so. But I have, and it's been an amazing journey. We've learnt so many things. You know, it's really brought me very close to the guts of being a human. It's like you're born, you live, you eat, and you die. And the eating bit is the bit which Why not make it pleasurable? So.
Exactly.
What's the equivalent of a polyglot, but for food, a polyvore?
Polyvore, I like that.
Yes, I like to. I really enjoy, I think for me it feels like cheese is great. And it's one of those really magical foods, like bread and like wine, where the cheesemakers who make it are actually working with a live product. And there's something very alchemical that happens when a cheesemaker gets a recipe and works to produce a cheese that they have in their head. They have an idea of the recipe before they even start out. So I love that from three simple ingredients, salt, milk and rennet, or rennet equivalent if you're vegetarian, you can make cheese in so many ways. Hard, soft, blue, strong, mild, creamy, crumbly, you name it, there's a different kind of cheese. So I think that's what I really love about cheese. It's a, you know, you're not working with something that's produced to one particular standard. It's a very variable product.
The company was set up by Jackie and her husband, Paul. Jackie learnt on the job, as it were, but Paul did some formal training, which apparently allows him to have the words cheese dip after his name. And there's unrestricted access to a mind-blowing range of local British and European cheeses, as well as pies, olives and other deli delicacies.
A couple of years ago, we started getting requests from people asking if we could build them wedding cakes out of cheese. Because you know what it's like at a wedding, you get handed around these whacking great slabs of fruitcake that nobody really wants. And at the end of the day, everybody loves cheese. So they look, stacked layers of whole cheeses cut up, look absolutely fantastic. And we've even got these wonderful, which Jackie's got, which you won't be able to see on radio, but they're little bell-shaped cheeses which we sit on top, and they look fantastic. And they are much less expensive than a wedding cake, twice as nice, and, you know, really wonderful. They're great fun to make as well.
Well, listen, you are making me a little bit hungry. Maybe we should try a little bit of cheese.
Well, look here, try some of this, look, because this is the Whissington ewe that I was talking about earlier, which is made out near Ely.
Mm.
So sheep's milk, the sheep's milk cheeses start coming in around this time of year, once the lambing's finished, obviously.
When the sheep stop producing milk, which they do mid-late summer, and then there's a period where they have to wait before the next crop of lambs come through, and so the milk dries up.
We'll try a little bit of that.
Lovely, thank you.
Jackie, squeeze fingers. So this is nice and young.
Mm.
And quite gentle, got a lovely sweet taste to it. Mm. Really kind of floral.
You get that?
Very
sort of hay and meadowy
flowers. Kind of taste. Just a beautiful cheese.
I think there's three or four that we mature ourselves. Mm. The one that we're probably kind of most well known for is the Cambridge Gunburner, and that is a very mature cheddar, really completely uneconomic to sell at that age, because you have to store something like, well, a 20 kilo cheese, and not only does that tie up money on your shelves and it's not actually working for you, which is not good business sense, it also means that over the maturation period, that 20 kilo cheese, by the time we crack it open, can be as small as 17, 18 kilos. So we've lost 2.5 kilos.
14, those last ones we opened were.
Oh my God, so massive loss. And that's just money gone into the ether. So although they're a kind of premium price cheese, if we were to charge the full economic rate for it, it would be kind of, you know, you'd have to take out a small mortgage. So we don't do that. We just do it because we love the mature cheeses. And then the other ones we do are, there's a sheep's milk, soft sheep's milk one called Cambridge Bar.
As a goat bar.
Yes. And the goat's one called Cambridge Bleat. I think what a lot of people are not always aware of is that making cheese is a real skilled art form. It takes a good year of just doing the same recipe day in, day out, in order for the cheesemaker to understand what's going on in their process and to be able to manage all the variables. So running a business and making cheese just is not an option really for us. But we buy in from good small-scale producers who just make one or two things. We tend to buy them in quite young, and then we have a maturing room downstairs where we put them away and nurture them.
Oh, can we go down there and have a look then?
Yeah, let's do that. So this is all really old. It's lovely.
It's a grade two listed building, actually, which is fine. Right.
Down again, watch your
hair. Oh my gosh.
Down here, look. These are all cheddars.
Wow.
Which will, we've got about 15 of them over. These are all cheddars that will turn out to be gun burners, but I mean, they have got
a
the trouble with the disruption of the building, these have got a long way to go now.
Oh
different
my
cheddars
god.
Are down
the,
there.
The smell is intoxicating, isn't it?
It's very cheesy. Oh.
Here.
I can smell it.
These are some of the bleats, and the other one, which is the Lord Nelson, which is a stable mate bleak, basically. And these, you can see these are starting to mature up now.
Wow.
So we keep them in a sort of moist environment and we kind of infect them with various mould and bits and bobs.
Yeah, they're just almost entirely covered in mould there, isn't it? You can hairy.
They look quite intimidating, but they're actually
it's
quite
totally edible, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
You rind on these ones.
Yeah, I think the thing that sort of pins it all together and holds it is Paul took a decision very early on. He said, I'm not interested in competing with supermarkets and big businesses because I could never do that. We, you know, as a small business owner, you know, we really try hard to, you know, respect what it's like to be a, we know what it's like to be a small business. So, you know, when small suppliers send us an invoice, we try and pay that really quickly because that helps their cash flow, and we know what it's like to be in a kind of like a tough cash flow situation. And that kind of impacts on, well, you know, you can't do that with big business because they operate to a different agenda. So we find almost of our suppliers are very small, which kind of fits our business profile and fits what our customers want. So it, you know, we kind of slot in. When people talk about a niche market, I really have a better understanding that niche is about, it's not just about finding this gap in the market, it's finding a gap that you fit, you know, from both ways. So and I think our whole business philosophy of you know, playing fair by small producers and offering people the best that we can find just kind of really fits that.
Yeah, and cheese like the Cambridge Bleats is still available at the Cambridge Cheese Company, only it's been renamed to Dorston. But I'm sure if you say Cambridge Bleat, they'll know exactly what you're on about. It's a white cheese with a heavy grey mould covering that makes it look a bit like rock hewn from a mountainside. It's full-flavoured, dry and crumbly ash-rolled cheese with a lactic citrus tang, and it's got a salty, goaty flavour. I'm not sure I can vouch for that. I've had goats and they never tasted salty to me. I wanted to mention the Cambridge Bleat because, listening to our cheese company recordings over the years, there are plenty of cheeses that are seasonal or they just come and go. But the Cambridge Bleat was first mentioned back in October 2008 and is still available at the Cambridge Cheese Company today. One extra thing I'd like to point out, the voices in there. You heard Sue, you'd have heard Jackie Sutton Adam, but the YA-man voice was none other than Elaine Cusack, Flavour's original producer. So it's nice to have her voice back on the air.
Yes, it is, yeah. and we should also wish the Cambridge Cheese Company happy birthday for the 1st of October
indeed,
as well.
Indeed, yeah.
Right, I've got some newspapers here today. The Financial Times has, four times a year, has a special sort of food edition of its magazine, and this is one of those days. And one of the, and it's basically celebrating lunch. And an interesting point that it makes is that a lot of restaurants do very, very reasonably priced lunches. Mm. There's an example from Covent Garden, Henri in Covent Garden, where in the evening the most expensive small plate costs £23, but at lunchtime you can get three courses for £28.
Blimey.
It's astonishing.
Yeah.
Noble Rot, three courses, £29. I mean, let's put aside the fact that a small glass of wine at Noble Rot will probably cost you £29 as well, but the point is made that the food is cheap at lunchtime. And it's true in Cambridge as well. Oak Bistro does very reasonable set lunches. Fansets does very reasonable set lunches. So if eating out in the evening is becoming a bit expensive, then maybe lunchtime.
Mm.
Maybe lunchtime. And Tim Haywood is writing, as usual, in the Financial Times magazine. He goes and has lunch at Sweetings in the city and is very entertaining about that. In The Guardian, Feast magazine, Grace Dent is at a place called Cud, I think that's how it's pronounced. A place, she says, for people who would find an Angus steakhouse willfully experimental. Not wildly impressed, I think. And there's lots of recipes. I was going to talk a bit about the perils of being a food restaurant reviewer, but actually I don't think we've got time. We'll save that for another one. But there's lots of really good recipes in Feast today. There's a couple that struck you, actually, Matt, wasn't there?
Yeah, I liked... I've got a sweet tooth, so I stayed away from Ottolenghi's ideas because his are all based on mussels, and the mussels aren't really my thing. But there was a cherry and pistachio bake.
Yes.
Yeah, it was based on an old American cobbler.
Yes, that's right,
recipe.
Mira Soda.
Yeah. I've had such a thing for pistachio. Ever since Modigliani on Mill Road started trying some of their cakes and things, and Kevin, the chef there, is very big on pistachio, and it's really kicked off a pistachio kick for me. So to see that in there, it sounds very nice. And there's some good mix-ups there. There's another sweet recipe in the back, which is... blackberry and peanut butter tart. What an interesting mix. Again, something I would never thought up, but I'd imagine it works very well.
Yeah, Rob, well, you'll have to try it, Matt.
I will. And there's Green Onion signalling the start of our job section.
Jennifer Marshall of Sourdough Hub has a very part-time vacancy for a barista at her bakery in Newmarket. It's on Saturday mornings from 8.30 till 12.30.
A brief roundup of other posts available. You can contact these people or the company's website or pop in at a quiet time for a chat. So, the Station Tavern is looking for a chef de partie and a sous chef.
Chef de partie are also needed at Market House, the Tivoli, the Cricketers, and there's a part-time vacancy at Downing College.
Another sous chef vacancy exists at the Rupert Brook, and senior sous chefs are needed at the Cambridge Dining Company and at Millworks.
Hot Numbers needs a chef. A pizza chef is needed at the Haymakers. A senior pizza chef position is available at Aromi. A cafe chef is wanted at Pembroke College, and there is a casual vacancy for a chef at Lucy Cavendish College.
All of which chefy news brings us to the end of today's programme. And we are here on alternate Saturdays at 12 noon, repeated on Mondays at 2 p.m, and of course we are available as a podcast from all the usual places.
We're not rushing today, Matt, but this is quite relaxed, isn't
it? Not sweating at all.
But anyway, that is all from us for today.
Yeah, and next up is the Cambridge Music Mix, followed by Home with Lucy Milazzo at 4.
We will be back on the 5th of October. It really is autumn. with lots more food and drink, news, jobs and features. And until then, goodbye.